How do you do? Children love to ask why, but the man in this story exceeded them all with his probing questions. Small wonder he chose to be a lawyer. He had life all figured out until he met the top advocate of all, one who cross-examined him, and he had no rebuttal. Then his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Mom, did you talk with Dad some more about my bar mitzvah?
He hasn't changed his mind, Craig. He thinks it's too big a deal, too expensive.
That's not right. Every Jewish boy I know has a bar mitzvah when they turn 13.
What are you talking about? You didn't even like Hebrew school.
But I went, and I learned enough to know that making bar mitzvah is a big deal. It's a rite of passage, Mom. It's what identifies us as being Jewish. Sets us apart from the rest of the world.
Craig, all you ever did in Hebrew school was argue with the rabbi. You never cared about religion.
So what? It's not about religion or what I believe. It's about being born a Jew and following our customs.
Well, I'm glad you're so interested, but we don't even go to synagogue anymore.
I want to make a bar mitzvah. It's important to me, Mom. And there's not much time. I'll be 13 in a few months.
Shining the light of the world into the darkness, this is Unshackled, true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people are bedraggled and often attacked, unable to defend themselves. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open 24/7 to welcome lost souls. Thanks to friends who send financial gifts, the mission is more than a refuge and a safe place to sleep. The old lighthouse provides meals and fresh clothing to hundreds of men, women, and children, even medical and dental treatment in the mission clinic, all without charge. And above all, the mission shares the good news that can change their lives. That same message of faith which worketh by love goes out to the world in 10 languages through this program. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3071 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mrs. Hartman, I know how important it is to Craig to make bar mitzvah, but there's not enough time. He just won't be ready.
Ready for what?
Well, he'll have to read portions of scripture in Hebrew. And I'm afraid he's just not prepared. He's very eager. But there's too much to learn. It's too late.
But, Rabbi, we've made all the preparations. What are we supposed to do?
A quandary for the man in our story, who would face even tougher ones, as we'll hear in this true testimony of Craig and Laurie Hartman, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in Manhattan and lived most of my childhood around New York City. Both my parents are Jewish, but my family wasn't Orthodox. I wanted to become a lawyer from the time I was six and sat enthralled watching a TV series about a lawyer. I like to ask questions and get answers. Lawyers get to argue all the time, and I love to argue. Jewish holidays were happy occasions with all the extended family together.
And if your son asks you in the future, saying, "What are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments that the Lord our God commanded you?" you will say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand."
That sounds like Craig, doesn't it, Dad? Asking all kinds of questions.
That's how children learn. Persistence is a great character trait.
I attended Hebrew school, but often felt empty listening to practices that didn't make sense to me. If an answer didn't satisfy me, or if I felt something was not right or fair, I would argue my point, sometimes getting very expressive. Deuteronomy chapter 6 of the Bible is a case in point. I wanted to understand, but didn't.
Now, Moses is still talking about God's commandments when he says, "And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." See the chart on the wall? the tefillin hold God's commandments.
Excuse me?
Yes, Craig.
That doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense?
Well, putting a leather strap around your forehead with a little box for Bible verses. Surely God meant something deeper than that.
That's what it says.
But that's ridiculous.
Nevertheless, that's our tradition.
In time, my parents took me out of Hebrew school and we attended synagogue less often. With true ambivalence, I was glad to be out of class, yet sad because something was missing. I wanted to remain connected to my Jewish roots, but couldn't figure out a way. My maternal grandfather lived nearby, and he helped me more than anyone.
Do I think people are hypocrites? Yes and no. They say things they don't mean, sometimes to avoid hurt feelings.
It's more than that, Grandpa. They claim to believe in God, but then they mistreat others, Jews and Gentiles. They lie and cheat and even say bad things about God.
That's human nature, Craig.
And human nature can't be changed?
Not very easily, it seems. That's why God gave us the Ten Commandments.
People should do what they say.
Do you always do what you say?
Well, I try.
We should all try.
What's the point of religion if people don't follow the commandments?
They're still accountable to God.
God is okay, but people are hypocrites. I hate religion. Dropping out of Hebrew school and my antipathy to religion left me unprepared for reading Hebrew, a requirement for making bar mitzvah. But the rabbi came up with a solution. He typed out phonetic English for the Hebrew words. Quite an effort on his part, since this was before word processors. I made it through the ceremony, and the rabbi handed me a small gift.
When you make bar mitzvah, you begin your life of responsibility before God. It's now you who must make sure you get to synagogue and observe the feast days and pray. It's not that God didn't exist before, but now you are a man in the sight of our people. Regardless of what your parents may say or do, regardless of what others may say or do, you are responsible. You now carry the burden of the mitzvot and ought to live a life of commitment to the traditions of our ancestors. May this small token be a reminder to you of this new and important part of your life.
After making bar mitzvah, I was still antagonistic to religion and didn't return to synagogue during my teen years. I played a lot of hockey, but never lost sight of my goal of being a lawyer. There was always tension at home. Dad wasn't around much, and we often had family squabbles. I was 15 when my parents sat my younger sister and me down one night and told us they were separating. I don't know what I would have done without my grandfather.
I'm not surprised, Craig.
They said they'd be divorcing soon. Dad already moved out 2 days ago.
I'm sorry.
Me too. I thought I'd be relieved, Grandpa, because the arguments would end, but the minute Dad walked out the door, I felt sick.
I understand.
I was wrong to think they should separate.
Divorce is a bad thing, no matter how you look at it, but try not to let it get to you.
It will, Grandpa. I'm going to have to work part-time jobs to help Mom now. She said money will be tight.
Just don't give up on your dream of being a lawyer. Stick to it. I wanted to be a lawyer, too. But when the Depression hit, I had to start driving a cab.
Grandpa was like a coach, keeping me in the game, and I wanted him to be proud of me. 6 months after the divorce, my father remarried and money was even tighter. To help Mom, I worked part-time in a laundromat and many other jobs as I continued in high school. And just before I finished high school, I met Laurie, and the attraction was mutual.
How did you and Stu like the concert?
I hardly noticed. I met this really cute girl named Laurie. She was sitting in front of us with my friend Stu's old girlfriend.
Sounds awkward.
Yeah, it was. I asked Stu to say hello, but he was too embarrassed. So I forced the issue, and then Laurie and I talked nonstop after that.
You gonna call up for a date?
Tomorrow. After the show, Glenn tried to get her number, but he stuttered so much, I interrupted and asked her to come around to my side of the car. And then I got out and got a number before he could say anything.
Oh, you've got some nerve. Was he offended by that?
I don't know, but Stu was. He really laid into me as soon as we dropped Glenn off.
Oh, teenagers.
Laurie and I talked all evening, so she was interested in me, not him. Besides, all's fair in love and war.
Is she Jewish?
No. Does it matter? Laurie was from an Italian family, so things were interesting when I came calling. Her mother was friendly and talkative, but her dad said nothing and left the room as soon as I entered. This was awkward because I was taught to respect my elders, and I was falling for his daughter.
How was your week, Craig?
Busy. Graduation's over, but I'm starting college right away.
I want to go to college, too, after I finish high school.
Let me ask you something, Laurie.
What?
Why does your father leave the room as soon as I walk in?
Oh, think nothing of it, Craig. You're just not Italian, that's all. And he's old school.
I can tell your dad doesn't like me, so I asked your mother if it was okay to come around.
What did she say?
She said, if my husband didn't like you, you wouldn't even be allowed in the house. Because I was working so much, Laurie and I only saw each other a couple of times a week. About that time, my father made a startling announcement, so I went to see Grandpa.
He can't help you with college expenses?
Not a penny. I didn't expect much, Grandpa, but I thought he would help a little.
Don't even think about it, Craig. Tighten your belt and you can meet expenses.
I hope so. Maybe I can find another part-time job, too.
Major in accounting. That way you can get a better job than sweeping floors.
You know, I took a course in business law last year, and the teacher said the same thing.
I wish I could have gone to college, but I had a family to support, and that was more important.
We'll hear more of Craig's story in just a moment. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. We do that daily here at Pacific Garden Mission, and at Thanksgiving, we like to thank all the people God uses to help this ministry to the homeless, the healthcare professionals who volunteer their time and training in our medical and dental clinic, those who teach about God's love in our services, the radio stations that include us in their lineup, saying, Unshackled is a favorite program. We're thankful for all the people in our prayer band who beseech God for us and for our listeners for every donation of food and clothing or technical equipment given us, for the faithful ones who translate these testimonies into other languages that others may hear the truth that sets them free. And thank you for being part of our listening family. If you'd like to give to the homeless this year for a Thanksgiving meal, you may send your food or financial donations to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Donate online at unshackled.org. Thanks for your partnership with us.
Craig, you work so hard.
I have to.
I don't know how you do it. Working full-time and going to class full-time?
Well, the job I have with that accounting firm is a lot easier than pumping gas. I make sure all my classes are in the morning so I can leave for work at noon.
You know, I admire your perseverance.
Laurie, I wish I had more time to spend with you. But nights, I have to study.
I'm busy myself since I started college.
I like the literature classes.
Oh, like the one on Shakespeare?
Yeah. Good literature teaches you about human nature. In a philosophical way.
Well, that's true.
I can't believe how many references to the Bible I've seen in these classes. Different authors, too, like The Sun Also Rises. Laurie, that's from the Bible, Ecclesiastes.
The Bible is a rich heritage.
Someday I'd like to read the Bible so I'll understand literature better.
I'll read it with you. Craig, do you believe in God?
Once I did. And then I saw so much hypocrisy in religious people, I got angry and disillusioned. And God seems irrelevant now.
I know God is real. I believe he created everything.
I guess I believe that too. But he seemed to have walked away and left us on our own. By the time I graduated from college, Laurie and I had been dating for 5 years. I started law school and we began talking seriously about the future. Throughout the years, Laurie's dad accepted me for who I am because he saw how hard I worked to get through school. Others in her family were not so accepting.
So, you met Laurie's grandmother?
Yes.
This is getting serious.
Well, she speaks very little English, mostly Italian. So she's talking away in Italian with Laurie's mother, and she learns I'm dating Laurie and walks over and takes my face in her hands and squeezes me.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, when she learned that I was Jewish, she pulled her hands away as if I'm a leper, and she lets out a scream, Jewish, Jewish! And she ran after Laurie yelling, watch out, watch out!
You're the one who'd better watch out, Craig.
Well, Laurie's dad was watching, and it's the first time I ever saw him smile. It was hilarious.
Does he still leave the room when you arrive?
No, he's come around. We're all just people, Mom.
No, so you're really thinking about marriage?
Yes, Grandpa.
Well, I like Laurie. She's a nice person.
How are you going to satisfy both of your families with a wedding?
I don't know, but I do know that I'm going to marry her, Grandpa. Planning to propose in December 1983, I parked under the Verrazano Bridge on the Brooklyn side, but the police interrupted me before I could ask Laurie. Parking there was illegal, but when I told them my purpose, they laughed and let me go back in the car to pop the question. Her answer was yes, but the wedding would indeed be complicated.
Okay, my family says we can marry if you agree to a ceremony in the church by one of our pastors.
Oh, no, there's no way my family will go along with that. All four of my grandparents and one of my great-grandparents are still alive, and they won't go into a church.
Well, I've thought about it, and I have a plan that could work.
What is it?
Well, we can have the wedding outside of my church if you take special classes and agree to counsel with the pastor beforehand.
Okay, I'll do that. We also need a rabbi to satisfy my family.
And agree to raise our children in the church.
I don't mind that either. Until they're old enough to decide for themselves.
Well, you don't care about religion anyway.
Well, while they're still young, we'll teach them what we learned from the Bible and then let them decide for themselves what's right for them.
Craig, don't tell the pastor that when you see him, okay? We'll schedule for counseling next week.
We met with the pastor, a big man with a beautiful Irish brogue. He was kind and cooperative and worked with us to plan the event. But I had not lost my antagonism to religion. And when he raised the issue of how we planned to raise our children, I decided to have some fun with him. My answer prompted Laurie to kick me under the table. Later, we had an argument.
Oh, I can't believe you said that, Craig. What are you, crazy?
What?
That we're going to raise our children as Buddhists?
I was just kidding, Laurie, and I told them so.
No, that was shocking. Please don't ever do that again.
Okay. Don't make such a big deal about it. I was just kidding.
I don't care. I was so embarrassed. And don't tell my parents you said that.
Okay, I won't. But it was worth it to see his expression. Our wedding was in a country club, and both families were happy. As the band played traditional Jewish music and traditional Italian music, everyone had a great time. We moved to the city where I finished law school and joined a big firm. While Laurie worked as a secretary, I studied for a law master's degree, specializing in taxation. The thought of studying the Bible was forgotten as our daily schedules were filled with other things.
So, you're thinking of switching jobs?
To one of the biggest accounting firms in the country.
But you've only been at that job a couple of years. Is it a good idea to change firms so soon?
Any move up is a good move. International tax consulting is their specialty, and it's becoming mine.
Well, how soon are you making the move?
Well, a position is open now, with a pay increase. So now's a good time.
Well, make sure they have good maternity coverage. After all, we're expecting a baby.
They do. The firm has an excellent benefits package. This was an exciting time for me. The plan I had formed when I was six had become a reality. I was a lawyer with a great job in a large firm in New York, and I was married to my high school sweetheart, expecting our first child. Life was good, but it was turned upside down when I met Mark.
Hey, how long you been with the firm, Craig?
Just a week.
Yeah, me too. Must have come in the same group of new hires. Well, the Lord has plans for us.
Oh?
Yeah, he never fails.
I wouldn't know. I'm not religious.
Well, I'm not either. But I know Jesus Christ in a personal way. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. What's so funny?
I'm just wondering why this firm would hire a preacher.
I'm not a preacher. I'm a lawyer who loves the Lord. And I can't help talking about Jesus because he set me free. Through him, I have a new life. The name of Jesus is above all names. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
He sounds like a nut to me.
He is a nut. I've never met anyone like him before.
What do the other guys at the firm think of him?
They agree. No matter what the topic of conversation is, he always brings up something about Jesus.
Yeah, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Jesus nut.
He's over the top, and he isn't soft-spoken. He's brash, obnoxious. I'm glad we don't share the same office.
I've heard about people like that. Better stay away from him, Craig.
Well, that isn't hard. We're on different floors. The offices at work were small and shared with one other person, and I liked my office mate. But a couple of months later, the firm reorganized our group and reassigned the staff. When I arrived for work the day after the change, my new office mate was Mark. I ran to personnel and begged them for a different roommate, but I was stuck. I had to make the best of it.
You know, you have an interesting background, Craig. The Lord really blessed your determination to be a lawyer. You know, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
You know, I never took to religion, Mark. I made bar mitzvah, but that was the end of it.
With God, it's all about your relationship with him. My family was religious, and we attended our church every week, but it was meaningless rituals to me. Now, I'm a born-again Christian.
What are you talking about? I thought Christians were different brands of the same thing.
Nope, standing in the garage can't make you a car. And neither can going to church make you a Christian. You know, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
I don't know what that means.
No, anyone can perform or participate in religious rituals and look religious. But to know God, you must repent of your sins and ask God to save you. Give you a new heart, a new life. When you're born again, God gives you his Holy Spirit.
Born again.
Oh, boy, this guy is weird.
The Hebrew Bible says the same thing. God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh.
Interesting.
Yeah. When the teachings of the church are not consistent with the Bible, well, we must turn from error to truth. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's real, not pretense.
I hate hypocrisy.
Well, so does God. In Isaiah chapter 1, he talks about how he doesn't like meaningless rituals. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow.
I like that. Makes sense.
Yeah, then he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that, my friend, is what Jesus does. His blood washes our souls whiter than snow.
When I told Lori what he said, she took issue with him. She sent me to work with questions that Mark patiently answered using the Bible he kept in his desk, something I had never seen anyone do.
Here, look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 47. Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She cries out for a Savior. Salvation is always personal, one-to-one with God.
What about this question?
A mediator between us and God? Well, we don't need one. Before God sent Jesus to be sin for us, Jewish law required a high priest to enter the Holy of Holies with a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. Jesus is a high priest forever for all who come to him. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Truth, takes time to digest. And it was an emotional time for Lori when she realized that the Bible contradicted what she believed. But she couldn't ignore truth found in the Bible.
You know, Craig, I'm beginning to see why your friend Mark left the church.
Oh?
Well, today as I read a passage of Scripture, I realized that I've practiced many things that are not taught in the Bible.
Is that a big deal?
Well, yeah, it is. I read Luke's description of Jesus on the cross, saying to the thief hanging beside him, the one who said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." When the thief died, he went to heaven.
That's interesting.
You know, Craig, I'm sad, but I have to follow the path of truth, no matter who it leaves behind.
We had begun our search for truth for the sake of our children. Now we needed to know the truth for ourselves. But tragedy would derail our efforts.
Next week, we'll hear about that event central to Craig's understanding of God and his purposes. We hope his story has encouraged you to dig deeper and learn more about God's love and grace in your own life. The Bible says, "The goodness of God endureth continually. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You can turn to him now, wherever you are, whatever your past. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. We love to get emails like this. Unshackled stories show how God can bring change and hope into a broken life. Tell the manager of the station if you feel that way. Call or write to say, "Keep broadcasting Unshackled." This is program number 3071, heard in the true story of Craig and Lori Hartman, Part 1, where Howard Friedland, Herb Lichtenstein, Mercita DeMonk, Tim Gregory, and Lisa Keefe. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nicoloisio, the engineer, was Kim Rasmussen. The script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.